We're in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 28 today. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll begin reading and studying in verse 28. We're in a section here where Paul talks about the new life of these Christian people. Many of these people that Paul converted in the New Testament had lived a very sinful lifestyle before they were baptized. But the Bible says not only must we be baptized, but we must repent and be baptized. Acts 2, verse 38. Repentance is a change of mind. It is a change of attitude about our sins, and it results in a change of life. So Paul gets specific here about how Christians are to live and the things that Christians are to avoid. And notice as we read through this section and review, going back to verse 25, how that Paul talks about the positive and the negative. He begins with the negative. In other words, he talks about what we are not to do, and then he tells us what we are to do instead. Christianity doesn't just tell us that we're not to do certain things. It tells us that we are to do certain things to replace those old ways and those old habits. Notice in verse 25 that he says that we are not to lie. Wherefore, putting away lying. But instead of lying, which is the negative part of that commandment, he says, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Don't lie, but do tell the truth. That's verse 25. In verse 26, he tells us to control our temper, be angry, and sin not. And then notice as we begin today in verse 28, how that there is a negative side and a positive side to what Paul is describing here. In verse 28, Paul said, let him that stole steal no more. So Paul envisions a situation here where some of these people may have stolen before they were baptized. That may have been one of their sins that they committed, and that wasn't uncommon. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, Paul said that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And as he described the different sins that these people were guilty of, he mentioned, among other things, thieves. He said that thieves would not inherit the kingdom of God, that is, impenitent thieves will not go to heaven. But then he adds, in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, and such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So some of those Christians in the church at Corinth had stolen before they were baptized. They were thieves before they were converted. And evidently the same thing happened in some other congregations, because here Paul said, in the letter to the Christians at Ephesus, let him that stole steal no more. So even though the person had been guilty of this before, when that person was baptized, that sin, as well as any other sin, was washed away by the blood of Christ. But notice that he says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather, on the other hand, instead of stealing to get what he needs in life, he needs to labor. He needs to work. Paul said, instead of using his hands to steal, he needs to use his hands to work. Notice, working with his hands. Now, we're going to come back to verse 28 and talk about this even more, but I want you to notice the same thing occurs in verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. So Paul says, don't use obscene words. Don't use profanity. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good. In other words, instead of saying bad words, instead of using bad language, Paul says use good words. So he doesn't just tell these people, don't lie and don't steal and don't use bad language. He said if you're guilty of those things, or if you're even tempted to do those things, make sure that you do just the opposite. If you've done those things in the past, don't do them anymore, and learn to replace those bad habits with good habits. Replace those negative, sinful types of behavior with positive, righteous kinds of virtue. With that in mind, let's go back to verse 28, and we want to talk about stealing versus working for just a little bit more. In verse 28, he says, let him that stole steal no more. Paul told the Ephesians, if you stole in the past, don't do it anymore. Notice the words, let him steal no more. That is very similar to what Jesus told the woman taken in adultery in John chapter 8. Remember the last words that he said to that woman who was guilty and caught in the very act of adultery? He said, go your way, sin no more. John chapter 8, verse 11. Sin no more, Jesus said. Don't commit the sin of adultery anymore. And Paul is saying the same thing about the sin of stealing here in Ephesians 4, verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more. Don't do it anymore. When you look at the sin of stealing in the Bible, it's helpful to go back to the Old Testament to see what was said there. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 15, one of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not steal. Thieves were punished under the law of Moses. If you'll go back and read Exodus chapter 22, you find that thieves, when they had stolen something, had to pay back more than they had stolen. Sometimes several times more than the amount that they had stolen. So there was a penalty in the Old Testament to stealing. And God has always said that instead of stealing, you need to work for what you need. Notice again in verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands. It's interesting that several times in the New Testament, Paul talked about the fact that he worked with his own hands, and he showed other Christians that they were to work with their own hands. That's what he said to the elders of the church at Ephesus in the last part of Acts chapter 20. That's what he also showed in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 to some people who were in the church who were not working for a living like they should have worked. Paul said that Christians need to work with their hands the thing which is good. Notice the difference here. Instead of using your hands for stealing, you're to use your hands for working, and you are to provide for yourself what is good, not something that's sinful, not something that was acquired by dishonest means, but an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. And notice also that he says that the reason that a man needs to work instead of steal is so that he can have to give to him that needs. When you look at the work ethic in the Bible, you find that there are several reasons why God says that man is to work. And by the way, God has always required and wanted man to work. Work is not some kind of mere punishment because of sin, because Adam was placed in the Garden of Eden to till and to keep the ground. So God intended for him to work even before he sinned. The point that we find in Genesis chapter 3 is that because of sin, now our working, now our labor is much harder, and that's what God meant by earning your living by the sweat of your face. But what we find in the Bible about working is that a man is to work to provide for himself. Because the Bible says, if a man won't work, neither should he eat. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. So a man is to provide for himself. If he has a family, he is to work to provide for his family. Because the Bible says, if a man will not provide for his own, especially for they of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. But there's another reason. Not only are we to work to provide for ourselves and to provide for our families, we are to work and to have some extra so that we can give to people that don't have. Because he says that we are to work with our hands the thing which is good that we may have to give to him that needs. And you can see in this a completely different kind of thinking, a completely different kind of mindset between stealing and working. A man who steals looks at somebody that has, and he steals from them. But a man who is a Christian works so that he can have to give to people that don't have what they need. And now we come to verse 29 in Ephesians chapter 4. Paul said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Let's start with the first part where Paul said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. As a child of God, bad language is never to be on our lips. Now, the word corrupt here is a word which means rotten, putrid, unfit for use, and worthless. This is similar to what Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 8, where he said that we're to put off filthy communication out of our mouths. How bad is bad language in the sight of God? Well, let's listen to the Lord as he describes it. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, the Bible says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for he will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain." In Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and 37, Jesus said, "But every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." And notice that Paul says here in Ephesians 4, verse 29, "Let no corrupt communication," any form of it, profanity, obscenity, dirty jokes, suggestive speech, any kind of gutter talk, and certainly never taking God's name in vain. A Christian has no business using bad language. Bad words and dirty talk have no place in the Christian life. And yet, it is common to hear people who say that they are Christians using bad language. Some of these people seem absolutely oblivious. They will talk about the Lord in one breath, and then 30 seconds later, they will use a cuss word. How can people do this? Why would they do this? It could be that some of these people just don't care. There are some people who are so hypocritical and have so little a conscience that it does not bother them to talk about the Lord and praise the Lord in one breath and then to cuss in another. And it could be that some of these people just have not been taught. Maybe they have not been taught what Paul says here. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Maybe they haven't been taught, or maybe they have not read sufficiently what the Bible says in Colossians 3, verse 8, to put off filthy communication out of your mouth. But it could also be this. There are many people who believe that it doesn't make any difference how you live or what you do. If you've been saved, they don't believe that your actions have anything to do at all with whether you go to heaven or hell. And so they believe that you're saved only through faith, and that once you are saved, you can never lose your salvation. And so with that kind of mentality, there are people who say, it doesn't make any difference if I cuss because I'll be saved anyway. It doesn't make any difference what language I use because after all, I'm saved by the grace of God and I'm not trying to be perfect anyway. There are people who reason like that. And when they do, they go contrary to the Bible. But regardless of the reason, Paul said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Instead of using bad language, speak good words so that you will edify other people, so that you will build them up and not tear them down, so that you will not stain and put a blemish on your Christian example, but so that your light will shine. There's hardly anything that a child of God can do that is any worse on his Christian example than using bad language. So instead of using that kind of talk, Paul said, speak good words and edify other people so that you may minister grace unto the hearers. Instead of speaking words that cause their ears to tingle in the wrong way, speak good words. The Bible says in Proverbs 25, verse 11, that a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. And in Colossians 4, verse 6, we find these words about good speech. Let your speech be alway with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man.